Communication. To communicate is the act of or process of using words, sounds, sights, or behavior to express or exchange information and ideas or thoughts, feelings, etc. to someone. It is this idea, this act or process of sharing information. You know, we do a lot of communication. Communication has been here forever. Communication. But you see, you and I need to understand that with communication comes something that we hear about miscommunication or misunderstanding. They're not the same. Miscommunication is when you fail to communicate effectively or clearly. Misunderstanding is when you don't understand what was being communicated. It's when you misinterpret what has been communicated. If you're married, you know that happens a lot at home. With husband and wives, like, well, no, I didn't mean it like that way. Perhaps you communicated the message clearly, but she was stuck in the dryer and she couldn't hear very well, and so there was a misunderstanding, and now you guys are in trouble. It happens all the time. A lot of times we confuse miscommunication with misunderstanding. The message can be clear, and you say, oh, there was a miscommunication. No, what happened was that you misunderstood because perhaps you were not paying attention. And, you know, if you were to Google that, why do we have so many misunderstandings? It says sometimes because you didn't like the speaker, perhaps, and you were not listening to him. Or perhaps it's like the person used words that you were not familiar with, and then, therefore, you did not get to understand. But there's so many, you know, where communication comes, misunderstanding and miscommunication. That happens a lot. Now, hear me out now. With the age where we live in, the technologies that we have, wouldn't you think that it would be impossible to miscommunicate with so many technological devices and things and you know, and the internet? You would have thought that it's impossible for us to have a miscommunication and misunderstanding. But guess what? It happens all the time. A text, you know, Facebook, this, you know, something happens and we still miscommunicate. And I think it has a lot to do with because we live in a fallen world and our communication will never be perfect and pure. I mean, I was just doing some research, and it's interesting. You know, when they came up with these cars, the Chevy Novak, they could not sell those cars in Latin American countries. You know why? Because the word Nova means it doesn't go. So they wonder, like, what's going on? Like, we cannot sell those cars in Latin American countries. Change the word Nova because Nova means we don't want a car that doesn't go. Nova means don't go. So, you know, it's like now you say, well, this is our logo. We're communicating it, but you're communicating to Spanish people, and that word means it doesn't go. And so people are going to be hesitant to buy those cars. When the baby food, Gerber, when they first started, and they were, you know, they wanted to bring that to Africa. You see, they had the baby picture, right, on the package. So they were wondering what's going on, that when they initiated that to bring that into the African countries, some people were hesitant to buy because in Africa, you would put the label or the picture of what's inside the box. So they was like, people bring babies in boxes now. You know, that's how. So again, they communicated, here it works, but when they went there, it's like people think there's babies in the boxes because everything, they put the picture of what's in the box in here. You see, there's communication, there's miscommunication, there's misunderstanding. My friends, you and I know that God has been communicating from the beginning of times. Now, let me ask you this. I had to pause for a moment. Did God ever miscommunicate? So God's communication with us, always being perfect, always being clear, but we have an issue understanding it. We misinterpret God's communication. That's why we have so many different religious groups, because we misunderstand what he's asking us. But God says what he means, and he means exactly what he says. There's no miscommunication with him, but we deal a lot with misunderstanding because sometimes, according to the Bible, when there was a lot of misunderstanding, it's because people were not listening to what God said. And therefore, they will have misunderstanding. Ever since the beginning of time, after Genesis 3 happened, mankind distanced themselves from God. God comes to hold them accountable, and there, mankind did not want to take responsibility. See, God and man, they used to be in a perfect relationship, perfect communication. And then after the fall of man, everything went bad. Sin entered the world. It affected everything that God created, affected our fellowship with God. But guess what? God still took the initiative to communicate with man. There was a man named Methuselah, and God communicated. He lived long, and God's sending, he's communicating with people. God is sending messages so that people will hear his plan that he has for the world. God has been sending messages from the beginning. I'm about to do this. I mean, in chapter 3, he says he will crush his head, talking about a he that will be born, that will be the demise of Satan, that will be the death of Satan, a he. So he's been sending messages, but like I said, we have issues understanding what he said. Sometimes we have misinterpreted God, misrepresenting him. In Hebrews 1, chapter 1 and 2 through 4, the author of Hebrews talks about the God's communication from the beginning. One of the ways in which God communicated to mankind. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading from the NIV. The NIV, there's two books in the Bible that start in the beginning. Well, in the beginning, this one, and then this one starts in the past, according to the NIV of 1984. Your version might say, long ago, God spoke. So Hebrews 1, if you have your Bible, you have it right there, say amen, so I can know. Amen. All right, let's read it. And he says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. Now, right there, you realize that God used human agency. He utilized mankind, people, to communicate his message. And I know what you're thinking already, but, you know, if God's using people, we're fallen people, so we might have twisted his message. You know, a lot of people will say that. I mean, God used prophets. Why didn't he just send an angel? In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. You know what the prophets were? Prophets, we can call them, they were the preachers. They were the mouth of God. They were the messengers of God. God would send a prophet to a town, say, you have this message. Every time a prophet came to town, he has two things will happen. He either has a message of hope or a message of cursing. Like something bad's going to happen to you. So let's say we are a town, we see a prophet coming. You did not know what he was going to say until he came and said, hey, the Lord said, thus says the Lord. Every prophet in the Old Testament started like that. In other words, they say, I'm not telling you that because I want to. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. So prophets, some of them did not even want to be prophets, by the way. Jonah. Remember Jonah? God said, go to Nineveh because if they don't repent, I'm about to destroy it. Jonah took on a boat and went to another place because he didn't want to follow God. And then God had to develop Jonah. And pretty soon Jonah said, okay, I go. Hey, in 7 days, if you don't repent, God's going to come. And then Jonah got angry at God because God showed compassion to the town. But he did not want to be a prophet. There were so many prophets that they did not want to do the work of God. But they were willing to go, and then God used them. So in the past, long ago, God spoke to our forefathers. Who are the forefathers here? The Jewish people. Through the prophets at various times in many ways. By the way, we have a genre in the Bible known as prophecy, and that's been written by prophets. There's a lot in the old, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, you know, Habakkuk. There's so many prophets, voice of God. Thus says the Lord. And you and I need to understand, even the Bible talks about that when 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says, knowing first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. The word carried along is like a sailboat when the wind comes and it takes you. So the Holy Spirit did that with this man. That's why in the Bible, even though it was written by men, there's no mistakes because it was just God. I mean, without technology and without having, you know, say, hey guys, make sure that we write the same thing because, you know, we don't want any contradiction. People from different continents, different backgrounds, and they still came up with the same message from God. That's only by divine intervention. They spoke from God as God directed them through the Holy Spirit. It didn't come in their own authority and their own will, but they were guided by the Holy Spirit. You see, all the prophecies that we have in the Bible, and we have more than 300. Some have already been fulfilled. But there are so many prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. For instance, let me show you some of the ones already being fulfilled. There was a man named Isaiah, a prophet of God. He said, he was talking to a king when he said that, and he had no idea, I guarantee you, when you read the text. He said, a virgin will give birth to a son. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, a virgin will give birth to a son, and you are to give, and they will give him the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. 700 years before Jesus was born, that man prophesied that a virgin, a young woman, will give birth to a son. And it happened later on. There was another prophecy that says, look, your king comes to you, gentle, riding on a donkey. Who did that? Jesus. I mean, so many prophecies in the Bible that have already been fulfilled. Psalm 22, it starts with the word, my God, why have you forsaken me? Who said those words many years later on a cross? Jesus. Prophets, God was sending messages like, I'm just giving you previews of what I'm about to do here. He sent messages. In the past, he used the prophets to communicate that. Daniel is enslaved, and he understood by reading the prophet Jeremiah that the captivity will last 70 years. Who told him that? He went back to what another prophet has said. It's going to be 7 years. You guys are going to be there in captivity. He understood that. Daniel is also the only prophet in the Bible that tells you exactly the time when the Messiah will come. If you read Daniel chapter 9, 24, it says that the Messiah will appear, and when he appears, they were going to cut him off from the land of the living, meaning that the Messiah will also do what? Die. All those things happened to Jesus. Jesus fulfilled more than 360 prophecies. So that's how you know that he was definitely the Messiah. No prophecy came by the man's own interpretation, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at various times and in different ways. And then I love it because, you know, God decided to upgrade his communication. Not because it was bad, but God said, you know what? I'm not going to send anybody now. I'm going to go myself. You know, like sometimes you send a messenger, God said, I'm going to just show up myself. I'm going to move into their neighborhood. And then the next verse, Hebrews 1:2. But in these last days, the author of Hebrews says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. In these last days, the author of Hebrews is including himself. He has spoken to us, he says. In this last day, God has spoken to us, not through a prophet, but he spoke to us through his son, talking about Jesus. You see, Jesus is God's final word, God's final communication to the world. Like I said, God decided not to send anybody else, not to send an angel or a prophet. God decided to come himself through the son, Jesus Christ. And look at some of the description of Jesus right here. It says, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. That word, heir of all things, appears a lot in the Bible. And what it means is that he has ownership of all things. Like everything belongs to, if you were the heir, that after mom and dad is gone, that's yours now. So his heir of all things means that everything belongs to him. And he explains that later on because, you know, there are other verses that we can bring in here. John 1:3. Through him, this is Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Through Jesus, all things came to being. You know, John talking about, you know, so heir of all things, everything belongs to him. Colossians 1:16 says, by him, this is Jesus again, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. He's before all things, and in him, all things hold together. He's heir of all things. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, whom he put in charge of all things because he is the creator. All things were created by him and for him. So when you create something, that belongs to you. That painting belongs to the painter. That building was made by the architect. Jesus is the creator of all things. Therefore, all things belong to whom? Jesus. And God's speaking to the world through Jesus now. Ultimate communication. And look what the author of Hebrews says. He says, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Wow. The exact replica of His nature. You see, we talked about Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. In the Old Testament, people saw the glory of God. At one time, Moses asked the Lord in chapter 33, show me your face, show me your glory. Jewish people called this the Shekinah glory. Like they saw the glory of God. The Bible, you see, nobody saw God in the face in the Old Testament. And I would argue with you, I would debate with you that every time they had to see a glimpse of God, like Abraham, there was three visitors. Two of those were angel, and one of those visitors later on, Abraham called him Yahweh, the Lord. Every time people saw the image of God, who do you think they saw? Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, the great I am. Jesus told the disciples in John 14, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I mean, at one time the disciples said, Lord, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we're not going to ask you any more questions. And Jesus said, wow, all this time that I've been here with you, Philip, and you still don't know me? If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Me and the Father, it says, we are one, the oneness of God. So, he says, he's the exact replica, the image. You know, we see images of things. Like, we never met George Washington, but we see his image. So, it's like, seeing Jesus is, and touching and talking to Jesus, you're talking really, literally with God, the creator of the universe. And you know, at one time, Jesus got into an argument with the Pharisees, and Jesus is saying that Abraham rejoiced when he saw my days. I mean, Abraham, we're talking about millennia before Jesus. And the religious people is like, Jesus, you got to be nuts. You got to be crazy. How can you say that Abraham rejoiced? Jesus said, yeah, Abraham rejoiced when he saw my days. And you, I'm here, you don't believe in me. And then they said to Jesus, you're not even 50 years of age. And you've seen Abraham. And what did Jesus say to him? Before Abraham was, I am. And what did they want to do after that? Kill him. They're ready to stone Jesus because like they understood that to make that claim, you claiming that you are I am. You are the Yahweh that they worship. He's the exact replica of God. To see Jesus is to see God. He said the exact representation of His nature, of His being. That is Jesus. No wonder we sent today, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God in three persons, blessed Trinity. God spoke to our forefathers in the past by the prophets, but in this last day He has spoken to us via His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by Him, by whom He made the universe. And He is the exact representation of His nature. And then what else does He say? He says, sustaining all things by his powerful word, after He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. So He became as much superior to the angels as the name that He has inherited is superior to theirs. Jesus provided purification for sin. When did that happen? At the cross. He died to cleanse us from our sins, to forgive us from our sins. He said, after He had done that, He went to heaven. He sat down at the right hand of majesty. And John, the Revelation writer, saw Him there in chapter 4 of Revelation when he saw, and I saw a lamb at the center of the throne, looking as if He had been slain from the foundation of the world. And all the living creatures in heaven and the 24 elders, they bowed down and worshiped the lamb and said, salvation belongs to the lamb. Man, that's it gives me goosebumps when I think about, wow, what's going on there? Like people like Jesus, worshiping Jesus all over the place. Because He's the only one who deserves our worship. God spoke to you and I through Jesus now. And that's God's final communication. In other words, God's not going to upgrade His message anymore. He's not speaking anymore. He just sent the last word to the world. And that word is Jesus. That's what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. By Him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth. And then John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we have seen the glory like the one who came from the one from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh means that He moved into our neighborhood. And the Lord pitched his tent among us. He moved into my neighborhood. God himself came in Jesus. He spoke to these last days, he has spoken to us through his son, through Jesus. And he provided purification for my sins. And now he stands at the right hand in majesty, interceding for you and I. And we know, according to the Bible, one day he will come back to take us home. You see, these are just a few facts about Jesus that the author of Hebrews is highlighting for us. God gave us his final word. And we know that because in John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish, will have eternal life. God said, I love you so much, and here it is. Here's my ultimate gift. Take it or leave it. You take it, there's benefit. You leave it, there's bad things that are going to happen to you. Jesus is God's ultimate communication to the world. In Jesus, we have eternal life. In Jesus, we have peace with God. I learned one of the greatest definitions that you and I can have for a Christian is this. A Christian is somebody who is in Christ. The Bible says if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So do a homework. You can just, every time you hear the word through him, in him, by him, you're going to find more than 200 probably. Every time, in him, through him, by him, is Jesus. We have no, Romans 8:1 says, now we have no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who are in Christ, you know, we're justified by him. Someone's like, wow. And you were dead in your transgression, but now God, you know, when you used to follow the ways of this world, but now God has reconciled you in Christ. I mean, it's like, wow, so many things, so many benefits that we have because we are in Christ. That's God's ultimate communication, by the way. God's final message to us, Jesus, through whom we have salvation, through whom we are at peace with God. Before you were enemies of God, but now through Christ's death, through his death, you've been brought near. Amazing. God has spoken through his son. How are you going to respond? Remember, he's been speaking through the prophets. You knew when a prophet came from God because whatever that prophet said came to pass. There were false prophets back then. So whatever they said, God said, if it didn't happen, God did not say it. So now through Jesus, God's speaking finally to the world through Jesus Christ. So how are you and I going to respond? We should respond by believing in him, by giving our hearts to him. I love chapter 2 of Hebrews. Remember, chapter 1 starts in the past, God spoke. God's communicating. Now he's speaking to us through the Son. You know how chapter 2 starts in Hebrew? Read it for us. Go there so you can see it. We must pay close attention to what we have heard so that you don't misunderstand. We must, Hebrews 2, the writer said, we must pay more careful attention to, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received is just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The salvation which was first announced by the Lord was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and distributed according to his will. We must pay close attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away, so that we do not misunderstand what God has already said. He doesn't miscommunicate. He does not miscommunicate, but we misunderstand what he's saying because sometimes we're not listening. We don't pay attention to why. It's like, oh, did God really say that? Yeah, he's been saying all along. I saw that on Facebook. Like people say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. You know what you need to do when you come to that? Read the Bible. It tells you right there what you need to do. People are like, well, I don't know what the Lord... Yes, he already told you what you need to do. The thing is, you don't want to do it. But it's like, it's right there. Like, this, for instance, there was a guy that said, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. I go wherever you... And it's like, don't you read the Bible? It says, go. Go make disciples of all nations. He's already been sending you 2,000 years ago, and you're expecting the Lord to send you now? He already said, go and make disciples. Go and, you know. So, but again, sometimes, like, I'm waiting for a sign from the Lord. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets. In these last days, he has spoken to us by the Son. The prophets, the apostles, they wrote down what Jesus said right here. And what we have to do is read it so that we can find out really what he expects of you and I, so we know how to live as we navigate and wait for his return, so that we know where we're heading. Like, we know the end of the story. Yes, you might be going through that storm right now, but at the end, you win. And you know, I'm so privileged because when I read Revelation, I realize, Lord, thank you, because even if you're not making disciples of people, even if you stop serving the Lord, at the end, I see a whole bunch of people that came to the Lord because somebody did it. Somebody then took the time and said, when I see John's people from all tongue, tribe, and nation before the Lamb, somebody became an evangelist. Even if you did not do it, somebody did. And at the end of the day, we see the greatest harvest in the history of the world. People gathered together to worship the Lamb. But Jesus already said, go make disciples. Go tell all there about me. So the message is given is through Jesus Christ that people can find salvation. That's what Peter says. Salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. It's only Jesus. Amen? But we must pay close attention to what we have heard. The Bible says faith comes from hearing. We must pay close attention, because when we stop hearing, we start drifting away, drifting away, drifting away. And pretty soon, like, we have drifted away so much that now we need a lifesaver to be thrown at us. Because we don't have enough capacity to be swimming back. Don't drift away too far. The message announced by the messengers was proved to be reliable. And when people violate it, when people ignore the message, they suffer the consequences. My friends, according to John 3:36, to ignore God's message, to ignore Jesus, is really to welcome judgment on yourself. God's not going to send any other... God doesn't have any other plan. God doesn't need plan B. He only had one. It was Jesus. It's like, there it is. I'm sending him to the world because I love him. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, because God's wrath remains on that person. Jesus is a dividing factor between life and death. And he said it. I hold the key to life and death. And it's like, no one comes to the Father except through me. I know that we live in a society that you can GPS your way around all kinds of things. People think that they can GPS their way around heaven. Heaven only has one route. Christ. You and I, we had to place our cars, our vehicles, our lives in him in order for us to go there. Just place it. He will take you along the journey. You don't have to just... accelerate, do anything. Just place your car, place your thing in Jesus, and he will take it, because no one comes to the Father except through me. That's God's ultimate communication. To ignore God's message, to say, well, I don't want to hear that, God, is saying, I want to go to hell. That's really what it means. To ignore God's message, you're saying, God, send me to hell. Whoever believes will be saved, but whoever does not believe will stand condemned. Judge, enemy of God. Where do the enemies of God go? To a place of torment. So Jesus is the dividing factor. It's through Jesus. God's final communication. He's not changing anything, because he's immutable. He doesn't change. It's through Jesus. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying what the scripture is teaching us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers in various ways and at different times through the prophets. But in these last days, 2,000 years ago, the writer was saying, in these last days, he has spoken to us by the Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the universe. He's the exact replica of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. After he provided purification for my sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, now interceding for me. And he says, I'm coming back to get my people so that where I am, they can also be. And you know the way already. Because he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God's final message. Friends, are you listening?